The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
It's the sort of quirky thing you desperately wished were available.
But now it is. So stop complaining and just listen.
Broadcasting live in the heart of New York City,
the Eric Metaxas Show.
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, Alvin.
Yes, Eric.
I can't believe I'm back.
I know. You're back.
Back
is great.
From
great.
The Holy Land.
Yes.
Back from Israel. Now, yeah. This is hour two.
This
if you want to hear everything I did on my winter vacation in Israel, listen to hour one today, where
yes.
I give you a blow-by-blow. We also talk about Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the very place where Jesus was crucified and buried when Billy Graham died. It's like the most surreal, amazing... I still don't know. Anyway,
yeah, I
we
know.
Talk about it in hour one.
Yeah, and I was sitting at my desk here at the studio, and it was just a sad thing when I saw it. It was just... sad.
It's sad. It's and I've been waiting for it for years. And on the other hand, as we all know, unless we're idiots, Billy Graham didn't die. He walked into the presence of Jesus, who is life itself. Now, if you don't really believe that, you're kind of missing the point of the story. That is the point of the story. The joy of knowing that Jesus is real, that he invites us into a relationship with him. He loves us. He made us. And he says, you will never die.
That's right.
Receive me into your heart. So the idea that Billy Graham steps into the presence of the one whose praises he's been singing and whose good news he's been communicating for decades, it's just, it should be a celebration.
Yes.
And we should not lose sight of that. That's
we miss
huge.
Him here, but he's,
well, exactly.
he's in glory.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And before, now in hour two today, which is right now, we're going to be talking to John Zmirak in just a minute.
Just a minute.
And, but before we talk to John Zmirak, I want to say a few words about Hillsdale College. Are you ready? Are you ready, Alvin?
I'm ready.
Here's my question to you.
What?
Do you know what the word college means? I bet you don't.
A bunch of smart guys?
I don't even know. Oh. Here's what it means. It means partnership, a place where professors and students work together respectfully to debate each other and exchange ideas in a search for what is true. But most colleges today just indoctrinate students in liberal secular ideology.
Boo.
That's actually, it's a very, very sad fact, and it's true. They typically don't allow students to think for themselves or speak freely. The good news is Hillsdale College is dramatically different. Hillsdale students debate ideas openly and honestly, pursuing truth together with their professors in a respectful manner. And I'll tell you something else that's different at Hillsdale. They don't have riots. Why? Because every student at Hillsdale lives by an honor code. I love this. Here's the honor code. A Hillsdale College student is honorable in conduct, honest in word and deed, dutiful in study and service, respectful of the rights of others. Through education, the student rises to self-government. Wow, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they study business, economics, history, music, or any of the dozens of other majors, Hillsdale students also become excellent citizens.
Mm.
That's the point. The stellar education they receive, coupled with that honor code, produces some pretty amazing human beings. So you can learn more at MetaxasForHillsdale.com. That's MetaxasForHillsdale.com.
Yay.
Now, if I had gone to Hillsdale and John Zmirak had gone to Hillsdale, what would we talk about?
I don't know.
No, we would probably be, you know, the president of the United States at this point.
Could
but
be.
Instead, we're reduced to having an amicable conversation on this wonderful radio program. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the great John Zmirak. John, welcome
Woo-hoo!
To the program.
Hey, Eric, thanks. You know, I've always said I'm so naturally cantankerous. If I'd gone to a conservative school like Hillsdale, I might have ended up at Bernie Sanders school.
Oh, what baloney. Well, anyway, listen, my friend, I'm back from Israel, and one of the good parts about being back from Israel is I get to sit at this microphone and talk to you. I trust you've been well.
I have. I've been pretty well. I've been pretty busy. There have been a lot of really terrible things going on in the world, and that's my beat. Terrible stuff. I write about it 5 days a
week.
Well,
one of the things that's good about traveling, and every year I try to go to Greece and whatever, is that you kind of miss out on the news, and there's something deeply healthy about that. It's kind of like going on a long camping trip without a cell phone. It's healthy to try to step away from the din. But part of the din most recently was this horrific school shooting in which 17 were murdered. I wanted to talk to you about that. You've got a piece up at the Stream called School Shootings, Gun Rights, and the Imitation of Evil. So what do you, and we don't have to start there, but I want to make sure that we cover that in this hour.
Yeah, why don't we get that taken care of? Yeah. It's so grim. School shootings, it seems, are a meme, M-E-M-E, a meme. In other words, they are a bizarre, psychotically evil thing happened at Columbine. I think it was demonic. At least one of the people at Columbine seems to have been involved in the occult.
Yeah.
It was so appalling, so atrocious, that it created like an icon in people's heads. It gave thousands of other messed up people an idea of, you know, I want to kill myself, but I resent the world. I want to be remembered for something, and if it can't be for something good, let it be for one of the most evil thing imaginable, which I guess is shooting up a bunch of kids. Then they'll remember my name. That is not a uniquely modern or American sentiment. There's a tale from ancient Greece, I think it was Herodotus, said someone announced he was going to burn down the beautiful temple of Diana at Ephesus. And they said, well, you know, your name will go down in infamy. And he said, well, at least I'll be remembered.
Right. Well, it's kind of an interesting thing because there, I guess my dismay, and before I lost my phone in Israel, which I did, I lost my phone, never to be recovered, and I haven't been able to tweet because I'm locked out of Twitter because they send you a code on your phone or whatever. So in a way, it was good that I didn't comment on a lot of this stuff. But before I was fully unable to comment. What I did say was that what's lamentable to me whenever we have a school shooting or something like this is that everybody retreats to the trench. They go to their trench and then they spit at each other over no man's land. There's no real attempt to try to puzzle through whether anything actually could be said that both sides would agree with. I guess the reason I say this, John, is because I'm not persuaded that the folks on the other side are going to buy in to my idea of freedom or the Second Amendment. That's fine. But it does seem that when it comes to abortion and when it comes to gun rights, both sides have gotten to a place today where they cannot move a millimeter into thinking, maybe that's a good idea. I mean, when, for example, when this happened, I don't know, one of the shootings a couple of months ago, I thought, well, why wouldn't they ban bump stocks? Like, what would be the big deal? In other words, even if it accomplishes next to nothing, is that a bad thing to at least tell people that we're trying to do something? But it's as if the NRA folks say, no, we can't do anything, because to do anything is to say the problem is a problem of laws and Second Amendment, and we simply won't go there. That, to me, is what's sad, because this is a very complicated situation. In other words, when you're talking about evil, and we have to talk about all of that stuff, and I would say that stuff is actually more important, but to be unable to speak about any possibility that there might be a law. Trump is very commonsensical. He says that, why don't we raise it from 18 to 21 so you can't buy this? Why don't we do this? A couple of basic things like that. Do you... I guess my question is, I'm happy to be wrong on this. Would you say that it's that to say that there are any laws we might enact is itself a fool's errand?
Well, I'm just going to speak politically, okay? Lobbies that are absolutely implacable and give nothing are the ones that get what they want in America, for better or for worse.
Okay.
The abortion lobby wants zero restrictions, zero regulations, and they've been implacable about it, and so far they've gotten it. The gun lobby is imitating them, I think, directly. I think they see the pro-abortion lobby has gotten what it wants and still has what it wants. All these years later, we have the most liberal abortion laws on earth, except for North Korea and Vietnam and China. So the gun lobby sees, the pro-life movement is always proposing reasonable compromises,
right,
and that seems to be perceived as weakness, and they get absolutely nothing. The pro-abortion lobby is implacable and unreasonable, and they win. we're going to do that.
That's the political side of it, right? And I get that. We live in a political reality. Wilberforce was not an apolitical animal. He was a political animal, but he was first and foremost a Christian. I think the challenge is to see whether there is anything we could ever do that's the right thing that doesn't compromise. Anyway, we're out of time here. We're going to be back, folks, talking to John Zmirak. We're talking about the school shootings and many other things. This is Friday.
Network with thousands of Christian media professionals, ministry representatives, pastors, and business leaders at Proclaim 18, the NRB International Christian Media Convention, February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Hear speakers including Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Luis Palau, Joel Rosenberg, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and dozens more. Gain valuable insights by attending one or more of the convention's six industry session tracks, where industry leaders will speak on digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Experience NRB's massive exposition, featuring tools and services to expand and enhance your organization, church, or ministry. From media and fundraising experts to publishers and tech companies, the exposition has what you're looking for. Also on the expo floor will be an exhibit from Museum of the Bible, Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. For all the details, visit nrbconvention.org.
Hi, I'm Victoria Hurst. My family's company, the Hearst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
It was Jesus who first called his followers a city upon a hill, a light for all to see. Since then, John Winthrop, Abraham Lincoln, JFK, and Ronald Reagan have echoed those words for those who call America home. Join author and SRN radio host Eric Metaxas as he lifts up this message and headlines the 2018 Remember America Speaker Series, Friday, April 6th in Lancaster, PA. This special event, sponsored by Dayspring Christian Academy, reminds Americans of their unique heritage of liberty that is founded on biblical principles. Remember America brings to life the important ideas Eric captures in his book, If You Can Keep It. The Remember America Speaker Series with Eric Metaxas is Friday, April 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Lancaster County Convention Center. Tickets and sponsorships are available by calling 717-344-5584 or go to dayspringchristian.com. dayspringchristian.com.
If not for you, babe, I couldn't even find the door, and I couldn't even see the floor, and I'd be sad. For you,
folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. It's hour two on this Friday, the 23rd of February. I'm talking to John Zamirak. John, welcome back.
Thanks, Eric.
We're talking piece you wrote in at the Stream on gun rights, school shootings, and the imitation of evil.
Yeah. I just to finish the last point, I think the problem is if we do a reasonable compromise, the anti-gun lobby will simply see that as blood in the water. Oh, look, now we're on a roll. You see, you've already conceded the principle that guns are the problem, and you've passed this inadequate regulation, the regulation they were saying was so important 2 weeks before, and it just keeps going and going and going, and soon all your rights are stripped away.
I guess I had a crazy idea, which was maybe one of my last tweets before my phone died. I guess I thought Trump would be uniquely qualified to do this, to say, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you this, and we're going to ask that we ban abortions after 20 weeks. Here's the deal. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, that's a bill that would be universally opposed because you're trying to offend two implacable zero compromise lobbies
right.
at the same time.
Well,
I think it would be easier just to bring in Queen Elizabeth as monarch of the United States.
Okay.
That would be an easier.
All right. Well, let's get into your great piece at the Stream where you talk about evil. There's a lot that you say in here. I don't want to miss too much of it. It's good stuff.
So that horrific slaughter at Columbine created a template that's out there in the culture now for seriously messed up people, for their resident screw tapes, their demons, their tempters, let's not mince words, to hand over to them and say, you really want to be remembered? You really want to make your grandmother cry? You want your name to go down in history? Do this. And there are similar things that happen in other countries. Excuse me. It's called a suicide contagion. Have you ever heard of that?
I've not heard of that term, but the concept I'm familiar with.
Yeah, it's where like a teenager commits suicide and like streams it on the internet.
Yeah.
Sorry. And it sets off a wave of imitators.
Right.
Now this happened in the 19th century. When Goethe published the novel The Sorrows of Young Werther, which ends with the suicide of the protagonist.
I read that when I was 18 years old, and I have to say that—
You did not commit suicide?
As far as I know, I did not commit suicide. But I got to tell you, when I read that this novel, because it's a powerful novel, and it's a romantic novel. When I say romantic, I don't just mean in the generic literary genre sense. I mean— It's the kind of a novel like Catcher in the Rye that appeals to an adolescent mentality in particular. And it sort of feeds off of that emotion, which really goes away, thank God, when you leave adolescence. It appeals to that. And so when I heard that there was a spate of suicides in the early 19th century as a result of that novel, I really remember thinking, even as an 18-year-old, there's nothing new under the sun. The fact that this could happen 200 years ago is amazing, and you're right. Although I want to say this, John, as a Christian, I have no doubt that we're dealing with demonic evil. Now, there are many people who say, well, it's this, or we need this law, or we need that law, whatever. I do want to say, fundamentally, this is an issue of, it's not just evil in the generic sense of evil, it's demonic evil. There is such a thing. And unless you have a worldview that understands the biblical view of reality, I would argue it is impossible to figure out a way through these issues.
Right, right. I mean, we talk about the imitation of Christ, right? But all human behavior is learned by imitation. René Girard, this great Christian philosopher, his whole theory is that our desires themselves are created by seeing what other people have and wanting to emulate them, wanting to share in it, or envying it and wanting to take it away.
I think that's right. I mean, and it's genuinely why I've written most of the books I've written, because I think when you look at great lives, everyone is affected by it. You want to be like the people about whom you're reading. It's just inevitable. And if you read about bad people, something makes you want to be, unless it's written in the right way. We are by human nature We have a propensity to want to imitate. It's sort of how the Lord made us, and it's why Jesus spent 3 years among his disciples. He didn't hand out mimeograph sheets and say, just do this stuff. He wanted them to see his life. So when you see evil like this, unfortunately, it does provoke something in us. But then the question is, what can we do about it?
I think we're learning now in the subsequent days that we can have sheriff deputies who are not afraid of gunfire, who are willing to do their job and go in when there's a school shooting. I assume you heard that the deputy, there was an armed deputy on campus, and he waited outside cowering for the SWAT team while kids were being shot. He's resigned and he's going to get full pension. That's today's America, my friends. That's what tells you the sheriff who's on site to protect the kids, cowered outside, is going to get his pension. And everybody, what do we want to do? We want to take away the Second Amendment because that'll solve it.
In your book, in your article at the Stream, you talk about some of the really, really dark stuff that happened. For example, Charles Manson hoped that the slaughter that he did in Hollywood, the famous Helter Skelter slaughter, he was hoping that it would ignite a race war. Obviously, he failed, right?
Right, but, in the riots in Los Angeles and before that in Watts, somebody smashed the first store window and other people imitated it. In 1936, before the Spanish Civil War, some anarchists started burning churches and digging up the corpses of nuns and pretending to sexually molest them just to humiliate Christians. In 1789, they started mutilating members of the aristocracy and carrying their genitals around on poles.
Okay, see, this is what I want to say. This is why anytime anybody says that I don't believe in evil, I don't believe in demonic evil, what do you think these things are, folks? What would motivate someone to do these deeply sick things? Anyone who has a materialistic view of the world, who doesn't believe that we're spiritual beings, what do you make of the profound darkness, the evil of these kinds of things? I mean, you hear this over and over. Satanists want to humiliate Christians. They want to desecrate what is holy. Why do we keep hearing about those things? I would argue that killing children is along those lines. There's something that anyone with a brain has to say, you know what? This isn't just X, Y, or Z. There's something else going on here. There's something going on here. When you're killing children, when you're killing innocents of any kind, there's something universally sick. Anybody who is human has to say there's something universally sick about this, that even at our worst, we don't do that. War is not as bad as this.
Right, but you know what genocide is, and the Nazis were killing children by the thousands day after day as part of their job, and they bureaucratized it.
Well,
and
of course.
Planned Parenthood is doing that day after day and taking little baby parts and putting them in styrofoam coolers and selling them like Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's happening every single day.
Well, I guess that's why I feel like the only way to deal with this stuff is to bring up the language of good and evil. There's no other way to talk about this. So when people want to reduce it to laws and want to, I can see the anger. I can see that people think, oh, it's just, let's just change this law or change that law. But we're talking about something so much darker. And I guess it has to do with culture, right? I mean, we haven't had this kind of stuff going back. You know, if you think back 100 years, did we have anything like this going on in the United States of America? What happened? What changed is the question, isn't it?
Well, I think there were lynchings in the 19th century, you know.
Oh, there's no question about that. There's no question about that. But I'm saying that we're talking about things that feel more random. Lynchings, you can see an outpouring of satanic evil in taking over a mob. But when you're talking about one person making a cold-blooded attempt to snuff out what they believe is innocent life. In other words, it's one thing to be deranged and to think that by lynching a black person, I'm bringing about some kind of sick justice. That's we know that that's evil. But it's a different kind of evil than to say, I'm going to shoot random innocent people. Why? In other words, what is happening there? It's something that's related, but it's different.
Yeah, it's the form that kind of evil has taken in our society. And the destruction of children is particularly diabolical and sinister. And I think the abortion culture feeds into that in a hundred subconscious ways that we won't know this side of the grave. So I wrote then in the piece at the stream that disarming the citizenry is not the answer.
Well, that I want to come back to that. Folks, I'm talking to John Zmierich. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, Friday, 23rd of February. We'll be right back.
To be out of the rain, in the desert.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm just so upset. I'm having so much trouble getting to sleep. Only to wake up in the middle of the night worrying all over again. I'm wearing down. There's no one I trust, no one I can open up to. But I've got to find someone I can talk to. I can't keep going on like this.
She found help, and so can you. We are Faithful Counseling, the world's largest platform for faith-based professional counseling. Our Christian counselors are all licensed, trained, and experienced, qualified and certified by the state board, but more importantly, we share your Christian values. Available 24/7 by text, messaging, phone, and video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. We'd like to invite you to try your first week free by going to faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP. That's faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP to get your first week free. Faithful Counseling. We're here when you need us.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to John Zmierich. John, let me ask you a question. You were say what you just said before we went to the break, because
sure.
I want to use that as
disarming,
a
disarming the citizenry is not the answer. There's a fascinating book by the historian Stephen Halbrook, Gun Control in the Third Reich. And he talks about how under the Weimar Republic, there was political violence between the communists and the Nazis and the socialists in the streets, and they passed strict gun control laws.
Right.
Who obeyed them? Law-abiding citizens.
Right.
Who didn't? The political gangs like the communists and Nazis.
Right.
So when the Nazis took over, they had a list of every Jew in Germany who had a legal gun, of every socialist, of every labor union member. So they just collected them. They disarmed them all and then sent a lot of them to death camps. There was virtually no civilian resistance in Germany because the citizenry had been entirely disarmed. It was in Poland where people still had their weapons from before the invasion. People had enough private weapons that they actually formed a home army. They actually were able to fight back and create a resistance movement. When you want tyranny, disarming the populace is the first step. And I think one of the reasons that we in America don't have some of the crazy government control over the citizenry that you see in countries like in nations of the European Union is that we have an armed citizenry. On some level, they won't push past a certain point because they know we have the ability to resist. I mean, you see homeschooling is illegal in most countries
Right. Where
there are not private firearms. Do you think that's entirely coincidental?
Well, no, I don't. Let me ask you a question, because I always want to ask this question and I never really get an answer. I don't know if there is an answer. But obviously, when we're talking about the Second Amendment, okay, the Second Amendment talks about an armed citizenry in order to be able to muster a militia. And you know, it is not just so people can have guns. It's so people can have guns in case they need to use them to gather together to defend themselves against some kind of a threat or whatever. So the question is, when you're talking about an amendment that is 240 years old, what do you say to somebody who says, well, this is not about having a blunderbuss or a musket that I need black powder and I need – what about – being able to have assault rifles? What about being able to have grenade launchers and rocket launchers and bazookas? Why can't I have a tank? In other words, at some point,
yes,
we make some decisions. We say you can go this far but no farther. What do you make of that line, of that continuum? How far can we go before, in principle, we are violating the Second Amendment?
You know, I think we actually – we actually are already going a little further than the Second Amendment, and I'm glad we are. But if you think about the Second Amendment, they were letting the citizenry have the same weapons as the government.
Right.
The government only had muskets. So if we were to be rigorous Second Amendment purists, and I don't think we should be, but if we were to be that, we would let the public have military weapons. I don't favor that, okay? But
on what basis do we not favor that?
We say that if they're a militia, then they're a well-ordered militia, and we don't want this branch of the militia to have grenade launchers, tanks, and howitzers. You know, I mean, there are a lot of Supreme Court cases about this, which I can talk about because I know nothing about them, so I have perfect objectivity.
Right.
I'm completely disinterested.
But I guess what always frustrates me is when we're talking about guns is we never have these conversations. Like, let's talk about what does the Second – I mean, if we're going to argue about the Second Amendment, let's talk about what is the Second Amendment. What does it say? Because what I find is that people in the beltocracy, you know, people in the punditocracy, they all know what they're talking about. But the people watching TV or listening to the radio, they actually have jobs. They don't have time to sit around and read the blogs, you know.
Let me give you a little bit of the background of the Second Amendment, okay? The Second Amendment was copied virtually verbatim from the English Bill of Rights, which was passed after the English Civil War. It was the result of the war between Charles I and Parliament, and the Puritans were afraid that Charles I was going to force them all to become Anglicans. So anyway, in the wake of that, they wrote this English Bill of Rights, which specifically said that people needed to have guns to protect their religious freedom from the government.
Okay.
And that was carried over into the Second Amendment. I always tell people, no Second Amendment, no First Amendment.
Right.
If you want the First Amendment, you better have the second one, or the first one is an empty piece of paper. Remember, freedom of speech was guaranteed in Stalin's constitution in the Soviet Union. It's guaranteed in communist China now.
Right.
But the difference is you don't have a citizenry that can defend its rights.
Right. It becomes meaningless. And again, this is to promote my book, If You Can Keep It. When I wrote that book, the whole idea was that if we don't understand how self-government works, and you have just touched on a huge piece of it, then we can't govern ourselves. In other words, if you talk about freedom, you have to understand, what is freedom? What does it mean to be able to say what I want to say, which might be unpopular? And then if somebody doesn't like me to say it, how do I protect myself? Well, having guns is part of it. It's to say, I have the right to say what I want to say, and if you hold a gun to my head and tell me to shut up, well, I will have a gun too.
Right.
Now, this sounds really basic and terrible in some ways, but it's the principle of the Second Amendment. It's the principle of the First Amendment. How do these things work? This, in part, is how they work. We're going to be right back talking to John Zmierich. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website, MetaxasTalk.com. If you don't have Metaxas Super, you better get it ASAP before the price doubles. I think you'll like it.
In the 1970s, look at Mother Nature on the run. In the 1970s.
Hey, Albin.
Yeah.
I'd like to tell you about Greg from Hawaii.
Please do.
Okay. He takes Relief Factor. As you know, I take Relief Factor. And
He says, Greg from Hawaii says, my left knee started swelling last year, making climbing stairs and walking distances difficult. At the same time, my back, hips, and shoulders were aching, and I figured it was worth trying Relief Factor. Within 3 days, I was seeing a difference. Relief Factor is helping with almost all my aches and pains. That's pretty typical.
Wow.
I don't like to oversell things, and so I take it myself, and there is no doubt that if I have a backache or whatever from exercise, it helps. If I don't take it, I notice. So I go, oh, why am I sore? Oh, yeah, I forgot. I haven't been taking it for 2 days or something like that. So I want to suggest that people check out the Quick Start Pack. It's $19.95, and it gives you just enough to know if it's going to work for you. It's like a three-week supply. I recommend it. Obviously, I take it. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Check it out.
You like freedom? I do. You like money? Well, I do, too. If you like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right, $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.claimfreedomchecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can, too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by March 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.claimfreedomchecks.com before the March 1st deadline. That's www.claimfreedomchecks.com.
Network with thousands of Christian media professionals, ministry representatives, pastors, and business leaders at Proclaim 18, the NRB International Christian Media Convention, February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Hear speakers including Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Luis Palau, Joel Rosenberg, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and dozens more. Gain valuable insights by attending one or more of the convention's six industry session tracks, where industry leaders will speak on digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Experience NRB's massive exposition, featuring tools and services to expand and enhance your organization, church, or ministry. From media and fundraising experts to publishers and tech companies, the exposition has what you're looking for. Also on the expo floor will be an exhibit from Museum of the Bible, Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. For all the details, visit nrbconvention.org.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com. Not only do we have great grills, but also the best hot patio heaters. We are the nationwide distributor for Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters, the very best patio heater that you can get. The Bromic heaters use the same radiant burner technology as our Solaire infrared grills, so they heat up fast and keep you warm so you can enjoy your backyard grill and outdoor living spaces into the night and all year round. Bromic heaters have stylish contemporary designs that fit perfectly in backyard and restaurant patios. We have gas and electric models to suit most installation needs and a portable gas heater that directs the heat where you want it, not the bushes and walls like the mushroom heaters. For top quality performance and aesthetics, you want Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters and Solaire Infrared Grills. Learn about these amazing grills and heaters at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. MetaxasTalk.com is the website. I'm talking to John Zamirak. John, I think, again, part of the problem is that most Americans have been so free. We have been so free for so long that we don't appreciate our freedoms. We don't understand them. And we don't understand what is necessary for them to continue to exist. I was just in Israel. And one of the things that struck me, that amazed me about Israel, was that this is a country that is, in effect, been at war since the day it was founded. In other words, even when they're not actually at war, they have guns trained at their heads. They are in a perpetual state of defense that is necessary. And because of that,
they sort of have a healthy view of reality. They understand that if we don't stand strong, if we're not patriotic, we're done, we're gone, we're over. I think that in this country that we would have had that in decades past, but in the last 50 or so years, we really haven't had to worry about anything, and we have become so complacent as to be practically suicidal.
Yeah, but you know what? There are things to worry about. I mean, I had friends at an event in Garland, Texas, that was highlighting cartoonists who drew Muhammad, and the terrorists showed up there intending to massacre everyone present, including Robert Spencer, the author of the editor of Jihad Watch,
right,
and Pamela Geller,
right.
They were going to murder all those people. Guess what? There was a citizen there with a gun who shot the guy.
Yeah.
Think about what happened in London when somebody, on London Bridge, nobody had a gun to defend themselves. The police didn't even have any guns. They had to wait 15 minutes for the special branch of the police that are allowed to carry guns to show up.
Yeah.
A population where everyone knows you're disarmed, you're a bunch of lambs, you're a bunch of veal calves, ripe for the slaughter, and the police will come and faithfully pick up your corpses and give you decent burial, and then everyone can put out teddy bears and candles. I just think it's
you forgot about the Mylar balloons,
right? Mylar balloons with Barney the purple dinosaur.
Yeah,
on them.
And the fact that I think all of that stuff is in bad taste aesthetically and otherwise only contributes to the horror for me. That this is what we've come to, that when human beings die, we have these displays that are at best maudlin.
Right, they're appropriate for an 8-year-old boy with strep throat.
Yeah, they're appropriate for when a goldfish dies, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, what we're talking about, and again, I think this is the big divide in this country with Trump. There are people who are forced to live by the rules of common sense. In other words, they know that if they don't pay their electric bill, the electricity gets shut off. They know that if they don't shovel their driveway when it snows, they can't drive the car out and they can't get to work and they'll get fired. There are people who live real lives and they're forced to deal with reality and they have a kind of common sense. But again, the cultural elites, the beltway punditocracy, they have for so long, and this includes, by the way, people who went to our alma mater and people who are pro-UN. I mean, they're globalists and they have a view of things which is, it's beautiful, except it's idealistic to the point of ridiculous. It's really a utopianist idea that it's not grounded in reality. And when it's not grounded in reality, it sounds better than reality because reality is dirty and nasty.
Right. So it's like a really realistic sex robot.
Yes, exactly.
It's cleaner and more obedient than reality. It's not going to talk back to you. The only problem is that it was made in a factory in Japan.
Yeah. Well, but it's interesting to me because I think that's what it boils down to is that there are people when if you have kids that are being killed and you just have a common sense view of, hey, if I had a gun, I would have shot the perpetrator, or if somebody there had a gun, if a teacher had a gun, they would have shot the perpetrator. It seems like so simple, but we're debating this as though those are the craziest ideas in the world. I mean, the president was called LaPierre, the head of the NRA, was called the craziest person on the planet by the Daily News yesterday or today, and I think to myself, you might disagree with them, but why are they crazy? I don't get it.
Well, you know, I mean, think about this. What is it in our society that produces a sheriff deputy armed, sworn to protect and serve, who will hear children who he is personally and legally responsible for protecting? He hears them being shot inside the school, and he cowers outside for two-thirds of the shooting, letting children who he is personally supposed to be protecting, letting them get shot.
I almost feel like in a civilized society, that person would be lynched.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should. I think that.
I mean, I don't believe in lynching, but if you saw a movie where the parents of the kids who'd been murdered went after that guy, you would not think they're insane.
Right.
Because
he should be prosecuted.
Wow.
He should not just.
Obviously,
not
we have laws. We don't need lynching. But I'm saying, why aren't we using the laws It to me, it's just a stunning thing that children are murdered and that we have somebody not doing their job like that. Well, look, let's be honest. This guy, he's in trouble, and I almost feel sorry for him because he's going to have to live for the rest of his life, whatever life he's going to have, knowing that in the hour of need, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. But what about I only hope the parents are Christians and they can pray for forgiveness, because otherwise it would just be the most nasty thing in the world to try to live with the knowledge that this man could have saved your kids and didn't. If you can't forgive him, it's going to destroy you.
Let's think about this. People are saying you don't need an armed citizenry, you need to rely on the government. And how many levels did the government fail in the Parkland case? Dozens of tips to the FBI, visits by mental health services, people calling up tip lines. The guy was walking around saying, I want to be a school shooter, on social media, using his real name, which is a weird name. And the FBI couldn't find a guy named Niklaus Cruz, who spelled it N-I with a K. That's like not being able to find John Zemirak. If I were to post some crazy threat, the FBI would have no trouble finding me because right. I'm the only person with this name. There, how many Niklaus Cruises are there? Yet the FBI was so busy trying to determine whether Paul Manafort bought a used copy of War and Peace over the internet and therefore was in collusion with the Russians that they didn't pay attention to things like this.
Well, again, John, it gets to the common sense of, I think we're out of time here. We're going to be right back. Final segment with John Zmirak. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Make sure you get Metaxas Super.
Hi, I'm Victoria Hurst. My family's company, the Hurst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
Amazing to realize, but you know, it's been almost 2 years I've been talking with you about Relief Factor, and I can tell you I've been continually inundated with testimonials. If you're struggling with ongoing back or neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or general muscle pain, pains of any kind, do what tens of thousands of others have done so successfully. Go to ReliefFactor.com and order their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. 1-800-500-8384. That's 1-800-500-8384.
Amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
On March 16th, discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him. So I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters March 16th. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
Eric Metaxas Show, a little Boz Skaggs for you. It's been a while since we had Boz on the program. I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, we just got a few minutes left. We're talking about the horrible school shooting.
I was wondering if I could switch gears a little bit, because it's something really important that I think your listeners need to know.
Please,
about.
Please, go ahead.
To do with religious liberty. In Pennsylvania, there's a fight for who's going to be the governor's candidate for the Republicans.
Right.
And the Republican Party has gotten behind someone named Scott Wagner. Scott Wagner puts himself up as like a Donald Trump type, but big problem, he is against religious liberty. He is the sponsor of a broad sweeping gay, lesbian, transgender rights bill, supposedly, that would not allow Christians any conscience rights in terms of like school bathrooms in Christian schools or, you know,
what is his name?
His name is Scott Wagner, and he is sort of the establishment Republican who the Republican Party is behind in the state of Pennsylvania. There is a solid pro-life conservative named Paul Mango running against him. It's an underdog thing, but my friend Maggie Gallagher and a lot of religious liberty people are saying that if the Republican Party abandons us on religious liberty in a state as important as Pennsylvania, and a state as socially conservative as Pennsylvania, which I think they voted for Trump. There are a lot of pro-life Catholics, a lot of evangelicals there. If a state like that will say even the Republican Party can give up on religious liberty, then we have lost. We will have no political rights. Our religious rights will continue to be eaten away in the name of anti-discrimination laws. So if any of your listeners in Pennsylvania, I'd say especially, look into Paul Mango's campaign. He is a solid, serious Reagan conservative, whereas Scott Wagner is completely in the pocket of the Human Rights Campaign.
How is it possible that in a state like Pennsylvania, you could have the GOP put someone up who is effectively the enemy of religious liberty? How did this happen?
Well, I'll tell you. Look what happened to Pat McCrory in North Carolina. He supported privacy for women in bathrooms and religious liberty against the transgender lobby. The gay lobby especially, they know how to pour money into targeted races and take out their opponents. And the Christian right, what's left of it, social conservatives, we are bad at direct politics. We are not good at getting people to the polls. We're good at sending out newsletters and holding retreats and conferences and feeling good about ourselves. We're terrible at practical politics. Maggie Gallagher writes a lot about this at The Stream. There's a good organization, the American Principles Project, APP, American Principles Project, that raises money specifically to fight political races in defense of people like Pat McCrory and Paul Mango. But it's small. It's nothing compared to the Human Rights Campaign, which pours money into races, but also, I mean, it investigates people. If you give to a religious liberty campaign, they're going to find out your name. They're going to try to get you fired from your job. That's what happened to Brendan Eich, the founder
right.
of Mozilla.
Well, what we need is a little courage, and I want to say this to my listeners, whoever you are, have courage. Do the right thing and know that God has your back. It's between you and God. You've got to do the right thing. And when people make these craven calculations, there's nothing sadder when a human being does that. John, I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you, as
Thank
always.
You,
folks, go to MetaxasTalk.com and sign up for Metaxas Super. We've just got a few days left, a week left, or 5 days left to sign up at the rock-bottom price of $2.99 a month. You can lock it in for the year. Please do so. MetaxasTalk.com is the website. Thanks for listening.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.